I think I need my typewriter serviced.
We can do that.
Really? Because I think my escapement just escaped.
Yes, we can do that.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure my carriage just ran away, and it did not even have horses.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, because I'm marginally sure it's dead. Can you resurrect it?
Yep, pretty sure.
You know what? Maybe I just need a totally different machine.
Well, we can definitely do that.
Okay, can you get me one in pink? Oh, maybe avocado green. Classic black is nice. Do you have anything that can fit in my purse?
This is Southern California. We can fit anything in a purse.
I don't even know where to buy all the stuff that goes with it.
Accessories? Yeah, we can do that.
This is fantastic. Could you address my party invitations?
We've got rentals.
Enough rentals for me and all my friends?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I have so many ideas now. You're like the typewriter muse.
Yeah, that's what we are. Find us online, typewritermuse.com. On Instagram and Facebook, at typewritermuse. And check out our YouTube channel at, you guessed it, typewritermuse.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Can you change my name to Bob?
No, we can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to the Austin Typewriter Inc. podcast. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to listen to our little gab fest. We're just a group of folks who enjoy the heck out of typewriters and welcome you to our table. Sit back and enjoy the show, and away we go.
Welcome back, my fellow clickers and clackers. This is another episode of the one and only Austin Typewriter Inc. Co-host here from the West Coast, Bob Marshall. Every so often, I know in my travels, I get to venture upon an individual who has done a little bit of it all. An artist who used to be a journalist. And then we're going to sum it all up with what it takes to enjoy typewriters and art, what it takes to put on an event where typewriters are going to be present in the near future. Without further ado, one Mr. Brian. Welcome to Austin Typewriters, Inc. Glad you made it.
Thanks, Bob. Great introduction.
Well, I try to, move it around and make sure we got a little bit of something for everybody, because I remember when you and I first met, we'll start with a little backstory for the fun of it. You had reached out to me and said, hey, I'm doing this art of these typewriters these days. And I looked at your Instagram and I said, is that what you call it? Because it looks so much more above and beyond what art could be as far as painting pictures of typewriters. And then you said, do you have a typewriter that I could paint? And I thought, this is wonderful. Yeah. So I remember I'd given you a customer's machine, and this particular machine that I gave you to paint was one that I got to spend many extra hours with because it was so old and frustrating, and I got to build such a great relationship with this machine. And then there you are, you painted it, and then you made it available on Amazon for purchase or whatever the format was. I'm a big fan of yours, Mr. Brian, and I very much appreciate you being here. So that's how I got to meet you. Then come to find out you're right down the street, and we had a few common friends in common, so we've gotten to hang out a bit. Lucky me. So let's start at the beginning. I think you, similar to myself, might have a typewriter problem. You're in good company.
Definitely, yeah. I'm sitting in front of three of the portable typewriters that I own. And this year, I actually came in contact with a fourth, an Underwood 5, that was left in a friend's lobby of their apartment building in New York City. They saw it just sitting there. Someone, I think, might have been moving out of the building or something, and they just left this typewriter behind. And my friend said, hey, Brian, I know you are interested in typewriters. I see you posting about them all the time. Would you like this thing? I'll just ship it to you if you could just cover the shipping. And I said, well, sure. So I got it out here, and the thing was a mess. It's very dirty. So one of our mutual friends is volunteered to kind of take it and at least clean it up for me. It being an Underwood 5, I know that they're not especially rare, really. And this one's from 1917. But I think it's in enough rough shape that it's going to be a showpiece for me. And then the other three are these portables. These are the ones that I actually do live poetry with for total strangers. And that's really what I love to do anyway. It's a lot of fun. I wouldn't want to cart an Underwood 5 around with me. The thing weighs like, you know, 150 pounds.
Yeah, that sounds about right. 150 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, showpiece at the very least. And that's the thing, like, when I'm out doing my poetry thing out in public, even if you're just clacking along, writing nonsense, the sound of it, the ding of the bell, all of that, people kind of like come to it like this silent song, and they're like, either, oh my gosh, I haven't heard that sound in 30 years. Or a lot of times what people say when they see the thing is like, I didn't know that these were even still around anymore. And I'm like, oh, you have no idea. Not only are they still around, but even in the last 10 years from the Los Angeles area here, you know, I've seen a huge change in people's use of typewriters, certainly in the market for typewriters. I think two out of the three of the ones that I bought here, you know, I might have gotten them for $60, I would say. And they were just on Craigslist. And this is going back now, 2010, 11-ish.
Sure.
That's when I got my first typewriter. And the guy was like, look, I'm just cleaning out my uncle's garage, found this thing. It's still in the carrying case. And I looked at it and I'm like, well, because it was in the carrying case, clearly, number one, nobody has touched this thing in 40 years. I mean, it's a 1941 Royal Companion, but it was in amazing shape. So I found somebody out here before I met you or a lot of the friends I have now in the Los Angeles area. You know, I just basically tried to Google, hey, does anybody clean up or repair typewriters? Found a place that was willing to do it for me. They cleaned it up real nice, put a new ribbon on it, and suddenly I was off to the races doing poetry for people. Because I was like, well, what am I going to do with this thing? So the first thing, of course, I did was I started writing a novel on it. I got about 9 single-spaced pages in, really enjoyed the feel of it, the experience of it, the story I came up with. It was a typewriter at the center of it, and it was a zombie apocalypse story. And I just never really got back to finishing it. That's a whole other story.
Yet. You haven't finished it yet.
I haven't finished it yet. That's right. Just having this thing in my hands, you know, very quickly, I was like, well, I'm already kind of a solitary writer by day. I was writing a column for the Burbank Leader in LA Times at the time. And I said, you know, I would love to take this thing out in public. So a buddy of mine, my buddy's a busker. He's a saxophone player, and he's on the sidewalk all the time in Pasadena and Burbank and Los Angeles. I said, do you mind if I join you? Mind if I just come out? I'm going to write poetry. I'm going to set up my typewriter and write poetry while you play the saxophone. And it just so happened that the first time we did this was on Mother's Day. And so we went out into Pasadena. Right around where the Rose Parade is every year, so Colorado. And there's, you know, a ton of people out. This was back when there were still a ton of people out for anything. I sat down. I pulled out the typewriter. Just people would come up to me, be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I'm like, great. Let me get 5 minutes worth of information from you, and then come back in 10 minutes and I'll have 4 or 5 rhyming stanzas about you, and I'll write a little story in a poem. So we did that for, I don't know, we were out there for 6 hours. My friend was exhausted because he's just blowing into his saxophone for like 6 hours straight, without taking hardly any break. And I'm like, I can't believe you were doing this whole time. I kind of got lost in my own world. It was just me. It was this typewriter. It was the glass keys, which really, these old machines, anything pre-1950, when they have those rounded glass keys, they just cup your fingertips, and it's an experience into itself. So, yeah, we sat there for a little while, and at the end of it, I was just like, this was some of the most fulfilling writing I've ever done, and it was just silly poems. I was writing people just about them, just about one little moment in their lives, in this one little moment in their life. You know, fell in love with that, and just, yeah, Now I do it as much as I can, you know, when it's safe to do so out in public these days. Yeah. it's been great.
Well, it sounds like it. And more importantly, in my opinion, it sounds like society has really gotten to benefit from your love of typewriters. That's got to be very exciting for the rest of us. What stirred you on to do the typewriter paintings, the typewriter art, and all that you're doing now with the typing paint?
Yeah, I separately took one drawing class a few years back. I didn't have enough hobbies at the time. I only had about like 7 or 8 I was competing with. And so I was like, what's a ninth?
Yeah. So, yeah. Sounds right. That sounds like typewriter math. Sounds like our kind of math. That works. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife is an artist and, you know, she's inspired me a lot just, in seeing how she's kind of honed her craft over the years. So I said, well, that looks really fun. Let me try that out. I also had some design and art background. When I worked full-time in newspapers, I did a lot of page design. So I had to learn the core tenets of composition. So the composition that an artist uses in a painting is very similar to laying out a newspaper page in terms of directing someone's eye to the headlines, to the photography on the page, and then to the words that eventually they would get to in the articles. So used a lot of the skills that I built up over years of designing newspaper pages and started doing a specific style of art called Zentangles, which probably a lot of people have seen if you didn't know what the name of it is. And it's kind of like, if you think of like the Indian mandala designs, the doodles that are repeating patterns. Instagram's a great place to see a ton of this kind of thing. Pinterest too. So anyway, I got fascinated with that style of design and started practicing it myself. And then one day I decided I would take some of the things that I'd learned doing that and draw the Millennium Falcon. And I ended up drawing this really detailed Millennium Falcon. And my wife took a look at it as I was kind of ending it after about 20 hours of working on this thing. And she was like, you're drawing that on an 8.5 by 11 regular sheet of paper, right? Yeah. She says, well, why don't you put it through your typewriter and, you know, write up Star Wars quotes around it? I think that would be fun because I had all this white space around a spaceship. And I was like, oh, that's a great idea. And, you know, basically I just looked up every Han Solo quote I could find and I typed it around the Millennium Falcon there. And, you know, to this day, I sold the original long ago, but I still sell prints. And to this day, even if I'm there typing poetry for people, and I have my artwork around me, and I'm selling the prints of the typewriters themselves, the Millennium Falcon is still what a lot of people gravitate toward when they really see, oh my gosh, this is all like my favorite Han Solo quotes around this Millennium Falcon.
I can't believe you did not quote Chewie, but we'll forgive you. I think it's very exciting and interesting how you make your prints so available to the public. Did I order them off Amazon? Is that where I got them from? I don't. How do you put that together to sell?
Yeah, it would have been from my website, just thetypeandpaint.com. Yeah, so when you and I crossed paths earlier this year, that only started in January. So we're talking in October now. So I've only been doing the typewriter. I call them typewriter portraits because what I've found is I've done so many in so many different colors. I'm almost up to 100 of them at this point this year. Every color you can imagine, every style you can imagine. And right now I'm really trying to get as many of the like pre-1900 typewriters drawn as I can. And those are funny because they're so different in design because as a species, we were still trying to come up with like, what's the right design here? It's right. Like all the flip phone cell phones of early 2000s where we didn't quite hit on yet what the iPhone was going to be that would then just totally transform the market.
Right.
You know, and I feel like going back to that Underwood 5, I feel like that was kind of because that was so mass produced because there was such demand because they finally hit on the right model where you could actually see what you were typing. If that wasn't the first one, that was certainly one of the first models where they finally said, oh, you know what would be really helpful is if you could actually see the words as they're being typewritten here, so you knew what you wrote. And maybe more importantly, you knew if you made a mistake. But those earlier ones, like the Williams, you know, from the 1800s, like those things are just amazing with the two sets of type parser. Anyway, so in January, you know, everybody kind of had their COVID hobbies. Mine was learning how to pickle hot peppers. That was one of the big ones. And then the other one was one day I was just on my iPad using Procreate. And so I drew a couple of portraits of my own typewriters. I did two of them just because I wanted to learn Procreate, basically. I am largely a self-taught artist, if you couldn't tell. I've only actually taken really lessons with one other artist professionally. And so I was just teaching myself how to do this on my iPad and posted it to Instagram. And someone who I think you might know, Typewriter Chicago, I think it was.
Yeah, my good buddy Lucas Dahl. Lucas, he's a good one, yeah.
I think Lucas was one of the first people to reach out to me, if not the first. And he said, hey, I want to buy a print of this. And I was like, well, it exists on my iPad right now as a digital file. There is no such thing as a hard copy of this. And he's like, well, if you ever do make prints, let me know. I did a couple more typewriters, and other people reached out to me the same thing. Hey, I would love to buy a print of that. So, of course, I had to start making prints. But I still wasn't able to get out in public and do the poetry for folks. And I really kind of missed, like, a connection with somebody. So I started reaching out to accounts like yourself and started saying, hey, I would love to just paint a portrait of your typewriter. You know, and I didn't want to charge any money for it right off the bat. I just wanted to do that, and then you'd have a digital copy of it. But very soon people were like, oh no, I want to pay you to paint my portrait of my typewriter. And, you know.
Rod, I wasn't the only one you reached out to? Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, Bob. I meant to tell you that before today.
Holy heck. My world is... No, I'm totally joking. Great examples up on your Instagram, which is what? The Type Pint? What's your Instagram?
The Type and Pint.
Right.
P-Y-P-I-N, and then there's no apostrophe.
P-I-N-T-E. Well, I'm a big fan of the art that you create in that. Now, I'm real curious, speaking from a customer point of view, I'm real curious when I get to purchase a similar copy to that is on the building in the downtown LA art district that you did. It'd be great to get a mural, life size, of course, full size, that was a direct replica of that.
So you want a 16 foot by 14 foot print?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be really great. I'm totally joking. I think that's the 400 block of what, Alameda, downtown,
yeah,
Los Angeles Art District?
400 South Alameda in Los Angeles. Yeah, so that mural, I'm sorry, it's 40 feet wide by 16 feet high. That's what it is. So that again, you know, just a weird kismet. If you haven't heard it already here, you know, I don't have much of a plan here. Things have just kind of fallen into place. It all is centered around typewriters and people's enjoyment of typewriters. And I think that enjoyment comes down to a couple factors, at least in my experience, having met so many people now in the typosphere. One is that people love design of typewriters. You know, everybody's kind of got their favorite sort of look and feel. The feel of the typing is another thing that people have very strong opinions about. I know I certainly do. I've shared them already. And then I think the third thing is that the possibility of what a typewriter can make, there's a lot of romance there. People like myself look at a typewriter and go, oh, I see the possibilities of the stories I haven't yet written on it. Earlier this year, I was included in a horror anthology called Typewritten Tales of Terror, and it was put out by Richard Polt, is the typewriter revolution. So he and two other editors, the three of them, you know, solicited submissions, and they were gracious enough to publish the one I put in. But what was really cool about that book, it is available on Amazon, but you can only get it in hard copy because every page of that book, all of us authors wrote our stories. So I used my 1935 Smith Corona on that one.
Nice.
So it was really fun to not only I did write the story initially on my laptop because I gotta say I do love the ability to delete something and have it be actually deleted, not use the whiteout on the page. So I wrote it all out on the laptop, and then off I went. All of these different aspects of a typewriter, people have reached out to me in my art for either because they love the model, they love the interpretation I did with it. A lot of people have really kind of gotten that irony that I find really fun about it, which is that I'm using this totally modern tool of a digital pencil and my iPad to paint a portrait of something that was built over 100 years ago.
I think it's amazing. It's so exciting from that point of view. Equally as exciting as you doing a rough draft on a computer to put a master onto a typewriter. We all have a different process in our writing, you know, but you mentioned that you're doing it backwards and it's working wonderfully. What a wonderful process.
Well, I think it's that everything can complement each other.
There are things that are
good to do on a computer, but there are things that are really good to do on a typewriter and with a typewriter. So I feel like you don't need to have either or. You can have both in today's world and get art out of both things. And when I say art, I don't just mean paintings and drawings. I mean stories and writing and things like that. And that's really getting back to the mural that you mentioned, that's really where the mural kind of came into play. So a friend of mine is an animator, an artist himself, and he saw what I was doing with the typewriter portraits, and he said, you know, I've been really looking for a mural to do. He's a third generation mural artist. His father was a really well-known sign painter and muralist in Detroit, and a lot of the big murals that are in Detroit today were done by his father. And he said, hey man, would you ever consider collaborating with me on a design where we could use some of your typewriter design and some of my design, and then we'll go to a mural somewhere? Well, long story short, that fell into what is now the mural at 400 South Alameda in the Los Angeles Arts District, right outside of the shop where our mutual friend Aaron has the Typewriter Connection typewriter shop. So it all kind of comes together, I think, when it's meant to. You know, there's just a lot of whatever you want to call it, kismet, karma. And that is the lesson there that I've learned, is that I've been trying to put out really good energy with and do good things with these typewriters that I've gotten, and good things have definitely returned back to me.
I'm glad you mentioned our friend Aaron, business partner, whatever you want. You know, I'll admit to the world that he's my friend. That's fine. I did a show with him several months ago where I showed up and quizzed him on what it takes to open a new typewriter shop like Typewriter Connection. And I think his physical address is 440 Alameda there in downtown Los Angeles Art District. It's very exciting to see the neat things that he's doing in the space that he has. I think that's going to lead us to our next excitement that we get to do. I will tell all the listeners, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we've got a great typewriter event of types coming up here December 4th. It's the, what are we calling it?
A Very Merry Winter Market.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for the Very Merry Winter Market. And more excitingly, we're having all sorts of other vendors show up. Stationery. I know we're talking about getting the print guys to show up too. You know, who knows? We're still open on the vendor list. But I will tell the listener, it's been a bit of work to get it all together. So we do these Zoom meetings every other week. And we started, you know, 2 months before the event to get everything figured out. And we've got this great team that's putting together this event to make sure that the event does for the vendors that it wants to do. And more importantly, for the attendee that shows up. The event is free. Parking is free, which is, how do you get free parking in downtown Los Angeles? I still haven't figured out, but lucky for us. I know I'm learning a lot in everything that goes into putting together an event. I've got to put together tens of events in the world of motorcycles locally. I got into typewriters with local typewriter club, and that was exciting because one of my fellow members for local typewriter club that I hosted here in Riverside every Sunday night at a coffee house, his name is Gregory Short, and we know him as Gregory the Poor Typist, who now does every Sunday morning for Typewriter Club Live, which you can see on YouTube, but it's a Zoom meeting. You can join in, and we've got this great Sunday meetup that's all about typewriters. But let's talk about the December 4th event.
Yeah, I think, you know, you touched on it. This is pretty unique. You know, it's not one of these arts and crafts fairs that, you know, a lot of us have gone to out in, you know, a closed down street in a small town or city. This is going to be inside of As We Dwell, which is a really cool creative co-work space. That's the best way to describe it. And I know I'm not even doing it justice. So they had an event like it in the past, and it was one of the first things that I actually did with Aaron. And it was one of the first events I did, meaning I finally had enough art in front of me, enough prints made up that I could go, all right, I have this small little art business, I guess. Let me see if people would react to it or even care about what I was doing. And there was a great response there. And when I went into the space, you know, I looked around and Aaron had set up dozens of typewriters that you could just walk up to and start using. And you could try the different fields. I mean, it's a time machine. You can sit down at one station and you're now typing in 1935. And then the next one, you're in 1972. And yeah. You see the difference between plastic keys and glass keys. And, the carriage return is completely different. All of the action, you can see all the improvements that were made. And it's so weird to think, going back to the evolution of cell phones, you know, we're only in year 20 about of us all having a cell phone in our pocket.
Right.
These typewriters were refined over 130, 140 years.
Yeah.
So even though that typewriter from, you know, 1901 looks really cool, it's beautifully done, beautifully designed, you sit down at some of those and you're like, oh no, I see why it's a lot easier to work on this 1960s machine than it is the 1901. But it's so great to be able to give people that experience and see that for themselves. Even as I describe it, I definitely don't do it justice. And that's what I love about Aaron's events. You know, it's like you said, there's going to be a lot of things to do and see and experience at this kind of event. But also, it's not something you're going to do or see or experience anywhere else.
Agreed. The attraction that we're going to get from the public, I think, is going to be very diverse. And I'm always excited about that. What kind of people attract to typewriters? Usually in downtown LA, it's writers, it's screenplay writers, it's amateur novelists, paperback writers, whatever you want to call them, it doesn't matter. They're there to write. And it's a great experience to try the different machines. I know myself, I'm very excited. I've been real busy putting the Typewriter Muse, the Mobile Muse trailer together. The trailer itself is a 1960s camper trailer where people used to sleep in it, for lack of a better term, and go camping with families. I know the trailer I got, nobody's ever actually lived in it per se, which is real nice. It leaves it in good condition, but I am totally remodeling the inside, and I'm going to have the trailer outside on the street behind that, where the actual entrance is to Aaron's shop. And there'll be typewriters for sale. I'll be repairing typewriters as well. I'm setting up a whole bench inside the trailer, and it'll be a whole mobile typewriter shop on wheels. And I've decided to go that route so I don't have to do a brick and mortar like Aaron is doing. Only I can be mobile for the customer. If you're at a certain event, I suspect it'll be a lot of book fairs, a lot of other writing events that I'll get to hit with my mobile trailer. So I'm really excited about that. I know too, another trailer I just built, there's gonna be prints. Vintage.printage is a new conglomerate. So there's gonna be a ton of prints there too. So it'll be neat to show off that trailer. I have no idea how I went from making typewriters great again to remodeling trailers. But the last month I've just been remodeling trailers when I'm not repairing typewriters for customers. And a big thanks to the customers who have been patient when it takes me a few weeks to get your typewriter back to you instead of just a week or two lately, because I've been having fun with these trailers. So that'll be a totally different aspect of the show. You'll show up to the show and go, why is there something called a typewriter trailer parked in front of the event?
I wonder if that's something with us typewriter people too, where it's not, we're never satisfied to just be doing one thing at a time. And that one thing is never just typewriters. It's always something else.
Amen. Well, and I know from time to time I've told the customer, I hope to have this machine back to you in a few weeks. And that few weeks turns into a month because I apologize. I took 3 days in the middle and had to write out a few chapters. I just had to write for a while, you know? And they're always real gracious with that.
Totally. Yeah, and that's the funny thing. I find myself these days, not having enough time to actually write.
Right.
One thing that I would like to do with these typewriters.
Yeah, and I know I need to write for several minutes a day just to keep myself sane. But when those several minutes turns into several hours, there's always fun to be had. There's always creativity to be had. I think it's very exciting to know that you, as a journalist, are really using the typewriters. I've never actually been able to see a sit down with a typewriter that I remember. So I'm very excited to see you sit down with a typewriter sometime. It's kind of like watching a guitar player play guitar or something cool like that.
Yeah, well, we've got the opportunity on December 4th. And in fact, you should step by and I'll do a poem about you. Because I probably don't need the 5-minute history of your life. I feel like I know you enough now at this point. I can do something real fun.
You are very kind in that statement, my dear friend Brian. I think I was lucky enough to have you show up at the event I was doing over at the museum. So maybe you know a lot about me, because I got to talk a lot at that event.
Oh yeah, that was a great talk actually. And I loved how, you know, in that audience, you saw people who were like, either they nodded along, like, yep, I get it. Or I think, and you see this at a lot of typewriter events I go to, the curiosity is there. So the curiosity starts up and then it's, well, what do you mean that there's all this different, there's this whole subculture out there and there's all these different typewriters? I know a typewriter is a typewriter. I think that was one of the fun things I took away from that. You know, I think you really got into the difference, the art, the and why people actually are into something that people would just look at this and go, oh, you're just a Luddite. You're anti-technology. You're anti-modern.
Right.
No, that's not really the case in all the typewriter folks that I've met.
It is a great choice in writing instrument, and some people still prefer to use pen and paper. My favorite example was Zane Grey, the novelist. He preferred to use pen and paper, even though a typewriter was available. So he would bring a secretary in for a day or two a week to type up everything that he had written throughout the week, right? So I think there's options for everybody. And if anybody gets a chance, the typewriter is a wonderful choice in analog writing instrument, in my humble opinion. I'm real excited if anybody has any machines they want to have looked at for repair. I can do that in my, you know, in my trailer. If anybody has any questions in this regard, I'm looking forward to that person who says, I just did all my Christmas shopping here. Thank you so much for being in one place at one time.
Yeah, I think that's the spirit of this thing. I know that one of the folks that we're talking to get there, she just published a couple books that are writing prompts. So a couple of sentences to get you going and then you complete the story.
Nice.
You know, it's every aspect of people who are into, you know, like letterpress, the tactile art that you can have right in front of you that's not just on a screen.
Right.
I think that is what gets represented at this event.
You said it so well. And that's going to be real exciting. I know, too, we're fortunate to have all the different people involved to put it together. Aaron's there. I mean, he works in the space. And for those who haven't made it over to Typewriter Connection yet, the way it works is it's a very large makerspace, and Aaron has a shop within this large warehouse makerspace space. So we're not just setting up a few vendors in Aaron's shop. It's a large space where they've had weddings, different events. I'm sure it's LA, so I'm sure they filmed some movies there. There's been all sorts of exciting things that have happened in this space. So it'll be great to host this very merry event and invites so much to the attendee. And it's free. And Aaron's going to have all his machines there. I'm going to have all of my machines there. And I always keep several machines for sale at Aaron's shop, you know, Typewriter Connection. And he does not have regular business hours like another shop would. He is by appointment, but he's always happy to show up and open it up for anybody. And he always seems to have, gosh, a good 40, 50, maybe 60 machines sometimes that, you know, anybody can play with and see what you like. So, well, I'm very excited for this event. Let's lay out, let me think, we've got a publicist, right? Putting the event together. We've got you, we've got me, we've got Aaron, we've got Jane, we've got a publicist, we've got, who else do we have?
We have an intern.
Oh, the intern, the one doing all the work. Yes.
The one doing all the work.
Yeah. Yeah. She's great. She's just jumping in and making it all happen. And I appreciate, I know a week ago she put out something. What do y'all think about this? And I know I made some tweaks to it, and then you made some tweaks to it. And then today we were making more tweaks to it, and there she is just rocking it. I can't say enough good things about her.
It's funny to me that after my journalism career, my day job now is in marketing, and part of my journalism skills have always been put toward media relations and getting the word out on events like this. But because I come to this from my artwork, I designed the posters, I've designed the postcards, I'm designing all of the look and feel of the advertising for this event, and having less to do with the talking to the media for this event.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find it to be ironic. I had a lot of fun with this because, you know, when I designed the posters and all the social media around this, what I really tried to do is go for a design that looks modern enough, like it was designed when it was, but also keeps a lot of that. I used a lot of like Victorian style fonts, things that are really evergreen that you could have seen on a similar sort of poster in the late 1800s, you know, not just in 2021. And that's really, you know, I think that just looking at the kinds of people that are coming to this thing, in terms of vendors and craftspeople, it really does span trades that have been around for hundreds of years. And even in 2021, these are people that have mastered those trades.
I forgot to mention my favorite's going to be the gift wrapping people. I'm going to bring all my gifts and have them just gift wrap them there for me. So it's one less thing I have to worry about. That's going to be my favorite. No, you're absolutely right. These are all very traditional things to have. And it's going to be great to have it all in one place. And I understand that I get to work the events, be in my trailer, show off machines, let people play with my machines, repair machines as needed, all the other things. But I hope I get a chance to really walk around and really take it all in and chat with all the vendors and have a good time. What all are you going to be doing there? You're going to be doing poems and art?
Yeah, I have probably 30 or 35 different paintings to choose from. They're all prints because, like I said, the originals are just digitals that I start off with on an iPad. They're really fun. They're all 8 inches by 8 inches, so you can get a frame on Amazon real easy. Yeah. I'll do custom poems. You know, you walk up, we have a conversation for 5 minutes, and then I say, all right, come back in 10, and you should have a rhyming poem all ready to go for you. The last time we did this event, it was funny. I don't know if I mentioned earlier the name of it. It was the Love Letters event. So we did it right around Valentine's Day.
That's great.
And I'm sitting there behind my typewriter, and these two guys come up, and, you know, very dude bros, and just two really nice guys. And they were like kind of whispering to me, and they go, hey, man, listen, do you just do the poem about us? And I go, no, I'll do a poem about whomever you want me to do a poem about. They're like, okay, so our girlfriends are in the front of the store right now. So could you write us two poems about them? Because we want to give them to them for Valentine's Day gifts. I'm like, you don't want to write a love poem about your girlfriend? And they were like, no, man, I mean, there's no way. We'd rather have a professional do it. It's like, okay.
Smart men. Very smart men.
You know, I sympathized. I said, yeah, I can do that. No problem. So ended up writing these two poems. And they were very transparent. They gave them to their girlfriends, I think, on the spot. And but they had me read them the poems. And, of course, it wasn't a real love poem in that sense. But they were poems about their girlfriends. I think one of them had to do with meeting Keanu Reeves. That's what he wanted me to write about. So that's okay. What I did. Anyway, they loved them. And I think I definitely helped those guys out. So that was really fun. So I love those kinds of experiences. And that's the thing. I think I had to end my journalism career partially because I was very burnt out from it. Being in newspapers from 2000 to 2015 was a very hard time. As probably everyone is well aware by now, the journalism profession in general is just a very tough place to be. And I considered myself one of those folks that really was passionate about it, saw the mission of good journalism in the United States, and knew that that mission has not diminished. In fact, it's probably more important than ever now. But I couldn't put my full self into it and endure the physical and mental tolls it was taking on me. So I decided to use those skills elsewhere. And one of my favorite things about journalism in general was being able to tell someone's story truthfully and in such a way that it would help them. And I find that in the poetry that I do for strangers these days, that still happens. I'm telling people's truths in a slightly silly sort of format, but one that I think because it's done on a typewriter, you know that literally this exists nowhere else but this one sheet of paper that I just pulled out of the carriage. So that to me is going to be what I'm looking most forward to with this event, is going there, talking to people and seeing what their interests are, seeing where we connect, especially if that connection at first is something as simple as the typewriter in front of me and the wonder that a lot of these typewriters create.
It's a very magical and wonderful thing. The way you do it, the way we all get to do it. I completely agree. Brian, where can all the good listeners find you online?
Instagram and Facebook. If you just look for The Type and Pint, I also have a website, www.thetypeandpint.com, where I have t-shirts, stickers, magnets, art prints. I have some original art pieces up there. I really just try to make a lot of fun typewriter themed things. And so please go check them out there.
I concur. And we can also catch you December 4th. Yeah, 440 Alameda, downtown Los Angeles Art District. Thanks for being on, Brian.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you for listening to the Austin Typewriter Inc. podcast. For more information about our group, please find us online at austintypewriterinc.com, or you can also visit us on Facebook and Instagram. Join us next time for another episode of Austin Typewriter Inc. May your type slugs always be clean.